City's favourite, KC 107.7.
Good evening to you and yours. This is Asanda Brown this side, and we are bringing you this evening a very special program, and we would like you to be part of this program. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, I'll give you the contacts of how to get in touch with us. But what is important for me as a broadcaster and also as a presenter is to thank the colleagues that were before us. Thank you very much for taking our listeners home and driving them safely to home. Thank you very much. So you are catching us on 6 stations. Have you ever heard of that? 6 stations. So that's Radio Zibonela, Radio 7, 6786. That's Whale Coast FM, Bush Radio, Radio KC, and Eden FM. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. The time now is 6:05, and I will have two gentlemen with me in studio to discuss this very important topic this evening. Remember, we said this is a very special program that we're bringing you, and it's brought to you by the South African Weather Service, as you have heard on our intro there. And also, we have in partnership with the Western Cape Disaster Management Center. I have two gentlemen with me, and one is with me in studio, which is Mr. Mnikeli Ndabambi. And also we have on the line, we have Mr. Lwandile Nokoyo on the line. So I'll give you just a brief intro of who Mr. Ndabambi is before Abegandia's Bulsela Kuwe Apo Ekaya. Mr. Ndabambi, Executive Infrastructure and Information Systems at the South African Weather Service. Uyona role atikanti uyayidlala imini ezi. So nguyena ke umuntu esawuva kuye into zakuthi xa kufikelela kwizinto ze weather. Ukanti on the line we have Mr. Lwandile Nokoyo. Yena he is the Deputy Director Risk Reduction Planning at the Western Cape Department of Local Government. Let me welcome my guest, Mr. Ndabambi. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Sandra. Good evening, Mr. Brown, and good evening to the listeners.
Thank you very much. Mr. Nokoyo, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Sandra, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much. We have said to our very precious listeners, we are bringing you a very important topic this evening. So what we want to examine this evening, we want to examine the workings or the work of the South African the South African Weather Service and also the Western Cape Disaster Management Center. In particular, focusing on these two organizations, we want to see how they help the vulnerable when it comes to bad weather. Remember, in the Western Cape, we have experienced the worst when it comes to when the winter season comes, you experience the worst. So we want to see how these two organizations collaborate and try to assist you as a vulnerable listener at home or as a resident or as a citizen of the Western Cape province. So that's very important. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can use this number, 079-525-0886, 079-525-0886. So you can send us your voice notes there, or you can also alternatively, if you are on social media, you can go on Twitter and search for at SA Weather Service, at SA Weather Service, and you can send us whatever question you have there. Please take us, if you have anything to say about the show, please take us there, or go on Facebook. On Facebook, you'll find us. It's South African Weather Service. You will find us there. When you take us, please use this hashtag SA Weather Service, hashtag SA Weather Service, hashtag Be Safe, and hashtag Be Weather Smart. So that's very important. So, Mr. Ndabambi, let me take it to you. You work for the South African Weather Service. So someone listening at home might want to know what is South African Weather Service. If you were to describe it to them, what would you say South African Weather Service is?
Yeah, South African Weather Service is a national meteorological service. I know meteorological might also sound a bit strange. Meteorology is dealing with weather,
yes,
and climate,
yes,
and even water related. So it is legislated to provide weather service both for the public good and also for the commercial services.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Then, your role, what would you say your role, your South African Weather Service?
Sifanele sinike izilumkiso. Xa lizawugqekeza sithi liyagqekeza. What I'm simply saying is that as a legislated National Meteorological Service, in the process of providing public goods, we just give you general weather on daily basis. The temperatures you see, minimums and maximum. But we also provide specialized services to some of the sectors, be it is energy, be it is health sector, also in the marine. We do provide those specialized services. So for us, the key is the safety of life and property. Safety of life property. That's why if you look at the strategy of the aviation industry, the safety of sky is key there. I'm mentioning the aviation industry because they are also a very important user to us because safety of sky, they start with taking off and then en route and then landing. So all that rely on the weather. And then when you go to the marine, there's also a convention, and the country is a signatory to that convention. It's called SOLAS, Safety of Life at Sea. So if there's a rescue at sea, we play quite a significant role. You can recall, I don't know when you were born, whether in the early 1990s, the ocean was sinking off the southeast coast. So our role is very, very important because the sea conditions can be a route for the fishermen, for the subsistence farmers and fisheries. So people, they also don't know that they can indicate their needs. And then we can customize those services for their needs.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That, thank you very much. That is quite a mouthful because I'm also learning at the same time. I did. I was not aware that your services go to such extent. So let's say someone sitting at home as a follow up on this on the role of the SA Weather Service. So someone maybe is wondering: are you the only service in South Africa that is offering this particular service in terms of weather service, as far as you know?
We are not the only people providing weather information. It is important the people know that because you've got many people now for commercial purposes using the media platform, your websites, to provide information. But then what differentiates us from these other providers? We've got infrastructure in place, you know, our observational infrastructure. So then the information we provide, we can verify. And then we can conduct research on it so that we can improve on its accuracy. So then we are the only legislated National Meteorological Services.
Yes. So the reason why I asked that question, Mr. Ndabambi, it's simply because in the era that we live in now, there's misinformation, there's social media, there's information that you think it's readily available. We don't know how factual it is. So it was very important that you mentioned that, yes, there might be others, but you are different from them because of the service that you offer and the extent that you go. Then, Mr. Ndabambi, then the mandate. Where do you get your mandate as the South African Weather Service?
Yeah, remember we are the public entity under the Department of Environment, but now it has also added forestry and fisheries.
Yes.
So now it's Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment. So we are the entity and we are legislated. The act started in 2001 and was amended in 2013. So part of this act, we are the authoritative voice of weather-related warnings. Some, they say, you are the sole provider of weather-related warnings. And that is very, very important. So that you also alluded to misinformation.
Yes.
When the people, they get this information, then they can call us, contact us to verify. I remember one time they were saying there's a hurricane in Gauteng. Yes. And then everybody were moving from their place of work.
Yes,
but you only got a hurricane from the ocean side. It can't start from Gauteng. So there's nothing like that. So it's important that they verify that information. But we're also a member of a World Meteorological Organization.
Yes.
It's simply called WMO. And we are a recognized member. So we've got so many roles that they designate to us as a South African Weather Service. One of those roles, which is, I think, is very important, we are a regional specialized meteorological center.
Yes.
So in servicing that role, we provide weather related severe weather guidance services to the whole of SADC country on daily basis. But there are other roles. I can count them up to 6-7.
Yes, I just
want to limit those as an example.
Thank you very much, Tata. Thank you very much, Masibulela Khulungalond. As we said, that this is this is a very special program that we're bringing you this evening. What is important about this program is that we want at the end of the day, we want you at the end of the program, we want you to take your takeout should be that I've learned something. And if there are any questions that we had, remember, I've given you the number that you can use to contact us, the number and also the pages that you can use. I will repeat them. Don't worry, in case you missed us and you have just joined. I am Asanda Brown. I'm here with Mr. Mnikeli Ndabambi. And also we have Mr. Lwandile Nokoyo on the line. Mr. Nokoyo.
Yes,
Dad. Please tell us a bit. Please tell us more about the Western Cape Disaster Management Center. Iyintoni, what is it?
Okay, Afana. Perhaps before I go into what the Disaster Management Center is, for the benefit of the listeners, maybe let me just start by explaining what disaster management is.
Yes, sir, please.
Disaster management is all aspects of planning for and responding to disasters. This is including both pre- and post-disaster activities. So these activities include things like your prevention. This is when we are talking about completely avoiding a risk. And then there's also another component that speaks to mitigation, where we speak to limiting any adverse impacts of possible disaster. And then there's also the preparedness component, which ensures effective response to disasters should they occur. And then there's also another component which speaks to recovery and rehabilitation. Here we are referring to restoring or improving the living conditions of our community. So then the Disaster Management Center is where all of this work takes place.
Yes.
It does not only include the building, but all the people that are in that center that perform this function.
Okay. No, thank you very much for that. Then, where do you draw your mandate?
So we draw our mandate. Perhaps let me first start by just saying that we are situated under the Department of Local Government in the Western Cape. It's commonly known as COCTA in other provinces. And we draw our mandate from the Disaster Management Act of 2002. So this is the act that prescribes the responsibility of disaster management to all three spheres of government, the municipalities, the province, and also the National Disaster Management Center. And we work hand in hand with all these spheres of government.
Okay, then if for instance one is listening and they say, okay, this is Disaster Management Center, they would then have a question, maybe wonder, how do you exactly, in terms of what you do, how do you then help them when it comes to the events, let's say severe events that we have seen in the Western Cape, people experiencing that side, how do you then come in as the Disaster Management Center, come in and help them? How do you help them?
So Asanda, our work doesn't only entail the response component of disaster management.
Yes.
So every year before the start of our winter season, we do what is we call winter preparedness plan.
Yes.
So this is where we work closely with your entities like South African Weather Services, where they give us the weather outlook for the coming winter. And then what we do internally is then we ascertain which areas will be affected by severe weather in the coming winter. And then together with your local municipalities and your provincial departments, we then plan in terms of what needs to be done to lessen the impacts of severe weather on our communities. And then furthermore, we also embark on awareness campaigns, which we do via social media, advise public on what it is that they need to do going into the winter season. And then in the eventuality of a disaster, this is when then the South African Weather Services will then issue out a weather warning to the Disaster Management Center. And then that is from there, we coordinated with our various stakeholders that we work with closely just to make sure that we minimize the impacts of disaster, especially to the vulnerable community.
Thank you very much for that. We'll quickly jump straight to an ad break, but on the other side of the break, we'll delve deep into the work that is done by these two organizations.
The South African Weather Service is tasked with providing timely and accurate scientific data in the field of meteorology to the broader South African society. The organization plays a vital role in the South African public life, not just as a provider of key services, but also in empowering citizens to adapt the effects of the ever-changing weather conditions. Tune in this evening at 6 as we discuss the winter season with our guest from the South African Weather Service. Have your questions ready. You can also call in or WhatsApp and talk directly to our guest. So tune in from 6 to 7 p.m. Our WhatsApp and studio number is 079-505-0886. Follow us across our social media platforms. We are at SA Weather Service on Twitter and South African Weather Service on Facebook. Otherwise, dial *120*7297#. You can also visit our website, www.weatheresa.co.za, for more info. Weather ready, climate smart. Don't get caught wearing something totally opposite to the weather. Stay alert and keep up to the South African Weather Service to get the latest updates.
Yes, as you join us, it's 22 minutes after 6. We said to you before we went to the ad break that we will give you the numbers, we'll give you the pages that you can use to contact us. I am Asanda Brown, in case you're wondering, who is this now? Who is this, Mbanlo? This new voice, is this a new presenter? If you are listening to us from one of the 6 stations that we are broadcasting live from. Okay, so what is important, ladies and gentlemen, for you to get in touch with us? It's very important, because remember, we are broadcasting here and we want to give you all the information that you need. We want to give you all the safety tips that you would need where you are in the Western Cape. And this is about you, Western Cape. This is about you. The winter that you experience in the Western Cape, it's different from other provinces. So the Weather Services and the Disaster Management Center in the Western Cape, they saw it fit, they saw it necessary that they address you and your unique challenges when it comes to winter. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on 079-525-0886. 079-525-0886. It's very important. You can send us voice notes there. Please send us voice notes. You can also call in if you want to call in. You can call in on that number. Remember, you can also find us on the social media pages. We are there on the streets, on the socials. It's SA Weather Service. You can search us on Twitter. It's at SA Weather Service. That's where you will find us. Remember, when you tweet, please use this hashtag or these hashtags, hashtag SA Weather Service, hashtag Be Safe, and hashtag Be Weather Smart. As we said, we are still looking into the tips, the information that you need to survive winter, the worst winters that you normally experience in the Western Cape. What is important is that we are talking, one might say, why are you saying this now when we're in August already? Are you being reactive? No. Remember, there were warnings before. We are not being reactive. But what is important now, we are planning, because we know that this happens. We are planning for the next season, that when the winter comes, these tips, you just pull the book that you wrote these tips on. You just, okay, these are the warnings, then what do I do? But Mr. Ndabambi and Mr. Nokoyo are here to give you more information that you would need. Mr. Ndabambi, back to you, Tata. So when you look at the 9 provinces that we have in South Africa, the Western Cape, experience something different between June and August, something different to the rest of the country in terms of winter. They have rain, they have floods, they have things that we have never experienced in other provinces. Why is this?
Yeah, the Southwestern Cape is a winter rainfall area. Some would say it's a Mediterranean climate that you experience there. Firstly, you've got a cold current from the Atlantic. It's called the Benguela current. But that current can also be very important for the fishermen, depending on the position of the weather system. When the high pressure is causing southeasterlies there, then the air takes the top water, and then the nutrients for the fishes, they come up, then the fishermen, they enjoy. So then you've got a warm Agulhas current. It's coming down along the east coast. When the Oceanus sank, I think, around 1992. So it was against that current because there were long period waves against that current. And then they pushed the waves to a very high heights, I think, over 6 meters or so. So now it's trapped between these two ocean currents. But the weather is also influenced by cold fronts mostly. As you know, during winter, most of the time your high pressure is over the land, but the low, they go past the Western Cape, causing the northwesterly wind. So the northwesterly wind is almost perpendicular to the ground, to the mountains there. So then it's forced to move upward, cooling condensation, you get the rain. So then that northwesterly, they dominate during winter. Even the high pressure, when it comes during winter, it normally moves over Western Cape, causing northwesterlies. Unlike in summer, the high pressure tend to move south of Western Cape, causing southeasterlies to dominate. You can hear people staying in Cape Town, when they see southeasterlies, some will say these are Cape doctors, you know, because even if there was rain, when there's a southeasterly, the rain will clear.
So would you then say those are the common weather systems that affect the eastern, I mean the Western Cape?
Yes, yes. Sometimes then this frontal system extends to high level. So there's this one high impactful weather system called cutoff low. So those cutoff low, they also cause floods, winds, strong winds, heavy rains. And before them, sometimes you get strong winds when the air is dry, then fires can start over the interior, and then they come with cold and rain. So the cutoff low, when you hear that word cutoff low, you must know that is an intense weather system going up to higher levels of the atmosphere.
So the devastation that we saw in the Western Cape, this particular year, not referring to other years, but this particular year, was it as a result of these systems that you have just explained?
Yes, a result of cold fronts. I remember 1 week on daily basis, there was a cold front passing.
Yes.
And then also some instances, there were also cut-off low weather system that we have experienced. So yes, this system. Hence, you also notice the impact of the wind, you know, trees falling. It was this system. The waves, you know, getting to higher wave heights is because of this system, because the air exert pressure over the ocean water, then generating these strong waves.
I'm also learning. If you are sitting at home and saying, hey, these are new terms that I'm learning. I'm also learning. We're learning together. At the end of this show, I'm telling you, you would have learned new terms that you did not know before, which is very important, because radio is about that. It's not only about entertaining. It's also about education. Because remember, this is information that you need. Thank you very much, Dad. Mr. Nokoyo.
Yes,
Dad. So coming to you, then working with, as a disaster management, working with organizations such as South African Weather Service to save lives and properties, what would you say is the significance of that for you?
That is very important for us, Asanda. I think that is our core business the Western Cape Disaster Management Center, is to show that we protect our communities and that during severe weather events, minimal lives are lost or rather affected. So the services that we get from South African Weather Services are important in that regard. And we work quite closely with them, ensuring that we prepare and we also respond effectively when severe weather occur. So maybe if I can just outline the way in which we work with the South African Weather Service.
Yes, yes.
Asanda, for the listeners. So normally what would happen is the South African Weather Services would contact us when there's a system developing. And then together with the South African Weather Services, we would then agree on a level that needs to be that needs to be issued for a warning. So they'll bring in the weather data, and then we will bring in our historical information of impacts together with the knowledge of which communities are at risk for certain weather events. And then once we've decided on the weather warning, we'll then circulate that to all our role players, including communities. That warning will say exactly what the weather will do and also what impacts are likely to arise. And then from a disaster management perspective, this is then we'll make the call or decision to activate our disaster management center. By that, then I mean that this is when we request all our role players, our primary responders, to be on standby in case the situation escalates on the ground. And then we monitor the situation as the weather system progresses.
Okay. You mentioned, because it's very important, South African Weather Service that you work with in terms of those warnings. But with which other organizations apart from the South African Weather Service, which other organizations do work closely with to execute your mandate or the work that you do?
So we work quite closely with many of the provincial sector departments. These are your departments of roads and infrastructure, your departments of health, your department of education, because they also need to be informed to also make decisions, especially pertaining to their infrastructure. One department that we worked quite closely with during the recent events is the Department of Water and Sanitation. They were able to provide us with real-time information on what is happening pertaining to the dam levels and also what is happening with river flows. So using all that information, we were able to, you know, provide the correct response to the communities that were being affected.
Okay. A question just as a follow on what you're saying, Mr. Nokoi. So let's say someone sitting in Khayelitsha, just making an example, sitting in Khayelitsha, they hear the organizations that you work with, the plans that go into making sure that lives and properties are saved. Then they would wonder, how do you then communicate with them? How do you communicate and make sure that the message, it reaches everyone, regardless of the age, regardless of where they are? How do you then make sure that the message gets to all that, to everyone that needs to get the message?
Okay, Asana. So there's a number of platforms in which we communicate the information, particularly when it comes to severe weather.
Yes.
Provincially, what we will do is to circulate it to our partners, which are your provincial government, and then we'll also circulate it to the local municipality. So if a person is within the city of Cape Town, the city of Cape Town municipality will then also disseminate the information further, either on their social media, on the radio, also including their community communication channels to ensure that the information reaches the people on the ground.
Okay, thank you very much, Dad. Thank you very much for that. So, in terms of disaster management, let me put it that way. Then one would be wondering, or one would be asking, what role did you play this past June, when the Western Cape, for instance, was struck by the disaster? One would be wondering, okay, yes, we get what they are doing, we get the work, but now, in terms of the actualities or the actuals of the work that you do, what role would you say you played?
Okay, so I think I touched on one or two of
them.
In my answers before, but just to try and sum this up, our role was... primarily, our role is to protect the lives of the people of the Western Cape. And we do this by making sure that the weather warnings that we receive from South African weather services are sent out to everyone and they reach the intended communities. Furthermore, what we did during the recent severe weather was to ensure that there's enough awareness around the severe weather. Whether it was on our social media platforms, on radio, and I think we executed that quite well. And then a decision was also taken during that event to activate the Disaster Management Center, as I alluded before.
Yes.
This is when then we had all our partners in the center responding to minor impacts, people that were flooded, maybe in informal settlement area, to responding to major incidents like mudslides, road closure, or damage to infrastructure. One of the key activities that we did also was the coordination of evacuations and humanitarian supports, especially to areas like Cedarburg in the West Coast. I think we did this quite well. But throughout this whole process, Asanda, there was also a component that I alluded to earlier when I was explaining what disaster management is, which speaks to recovery and rehabilitation. Now, this happens throughout the process. During the activation of the center, we receive initial damage assessments from the local municipalities and from the people on the ground. We collect this information, we put it together so that we can also start coming up with estimation of how much damage there is in the province. So this is what our role was during the previous severe weather event.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Tata. That was very clear. So we have received a couple of voice notes. We'll go to those voice notes and hear what the questions are and what the comments are. But on the other side of the voice notes, before we run on the other side of the voice notes, Mr. Ndabambi, I'll come to you. So that we can understand what are the possible impacts of such weather conditions in the Western Cape. So we'll come back to you with that questions. Let's play the voice notes.
Most of the areas they are surrounded by water and land. We don't have space for enough land, and so as black people in the community, we take over spaces that are not destined for Tina. We don't own the space, so then we're forced to take a space. Hence, we are at risk because as the areas that we end up putting our houses that we want to belong and own the land, and that space Mshamba is not supposed to be owned, then something can happen. So I think some cases accident zenzaka because of that.
My view, your floods is always up to two things. It's either imvula is too much, which is, I think, in the last 5 years, it hasn't been too much. But okay, it's a matter of the drainage system. I don't think that has been maintained well. I can attest to that in Sekos River. There are areas that would flood while other areas are not flooding, meaning imvula it was not that much, but because of the drainage systems within those areas, it's either they maintain their one, it can be right, but I just have a feeling about as maintained as expected.
The South Africa. The South African Weather Service is tasked with providing timely and accurate scientific data in the field of meteorology to the broader South African society. The organization plays a vital role in the South African public life, not just as a provider of key services, but also in empowering citizens to adapt the effects of the ever-changing weather conditions. Tune in this evening at 6 as we discuss the winter season with our guest from the South African Weather Service. Have your questions ready. You can also call in or WhatsApp and talk directly to our guest. So tune in from 6 to 7 p.m. Our WhatsApp and studio number is 079-505-0886. Follow us across our social media platforms. We are at SA Weather Service on Twitter and South African Weather Service on Facebook. Otherwise, dial *120*7297#. You can also visit our website, www.weatheresa.co.za, for more info. Weather ready, climate smart. When a flash flood warning is issued by the South African Weather Service for your area, or the moment you realize that a flash flood is pending, act quickly to save your life, as you may only have a few seconds.
Hashtag be safe, hashtag be weather smart. That's very important. Let's welcome our listeners from Radio 786. Welcome. You have not missed much. Yes, we have missed some of the information, some of the key information that you have benefited on. But remember, this program will be shared live on the platforms when the time is right. So you can catch it there. But what is important, if also you have questions, you can also catch us on the social media pages. You can ask those questions. You don't have to wait for another program to come. If you have a question, tag us, we'll respond. Tag us on Twitter at SA Weather Service, and also find us on Facebook, SA South African Weather Service. You can find us there. If you have voice notes or you want to send a voice note, you can send it to 079-525-0886. Remember, we said you are catching us on 6 radio stations, Radio 786, Radio Zibonele, Whale Coast FM, Bush Radio, Radio KC, and Eden FM. This is a special broadcast. Mr. Ndabambi, before we went on, before we took the voice notes from our lovely listeners, I said we're going to talk about the impacts. What are the possible impacts of such weather conditions? You can take it from there. And also, I picked up from the voice notes that they said they were also taking up spaces that they see that are free and not occupied. If you can also touch on that, Mr. Nokoyo as well, I'll throw that to you, because I'm sure that is a risk on its own. Data.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. The disaster management authorities, firstly, are good partners.
Yes.
I mean, he was articulating how we get to a warning.
Mm.
Yeah. So the impact that get experienced in the Western Cape and adjacent interior, it's your floods, the snowfalls. You know, there are also Sutherland's mountains with a high, but even the high ground, even if the freezing level is where you get your 0 degree line. Some, they can be drop as low as 3,000, 4,000 feet. Hey, Zankolel, we use feet, you know, us and pilots and feet. Yes. Yeah. And then strong winds, roofs falling, trees falling. I appreciated one of the years where the Provincial Department of Education of Eastern Cape closed the school because of our warnings. Mm. So they prevented, students could have died.
Mm.
But the challenge with the weather warning is that you cannot say so many people would have died if the Provincial Department of Education in the Western Cape didn't take that action.
Mm. Mm.
So this impact now, he referred to the forecast, but he said the outlook.
Yes.
So we give them more than beyond 2 days so that they can plan. And then he also talked about, in our warning, we indicate what weather will do.
Mm.
Previously, we used to say what weather will be. It will be heavy rains. What? So then now, if there will be impact of snowfalls, for example, we communicate in our impact-based warning system that impact will be snow. The roads might be closed. And then what the local disaster management structures of the Western Cape does, they close the road that will be impacted by snow before people are trapped there, which is very important. As you have seen in some years ago, the helicopters will come while cars are trapped in the snow. And the fuel of a helicopter is too expensive. So I've shared the impact, but I also shared now how do the disaster management authorities and emergency services act proactively because of this impact-based forecasting that we issue. And then to the voice mail talking about the space, that is very, very important. Climate change impact and climate variability are now reality. I mean, we've seen snow frequently now, even in Gauteng. Cape Town, when I was young, people there, they don't know anything about thunder. They will hear thunderstorm when they move out of Cape Town. But now that is frequent. Even tornadoes, they experience tornadoes. So the weather impact is changing. So the climate change impact is a reality. So then it's important, sharing caller, that when you plan building, you must get weather and climate information for that area. Some of the areas in the Western Cape, around the Cape Flat, Philippi, you find that even the level above sea level is hardly 1.5 meters. Some areas there, when they flood, the water, they come from below. They don't come from sideways. Can you see that risk? So that they can decide now on the strength of the building structure that should be there. Like we saw in KZN, the soil got moved.
Yes.
That means that when you build, you must use a different approach, the engineering there. So such decision, they need weather and climate information. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dad. Mr. Nokoyo, I said I'll also throw this to you. I'm sure this is one of the challenges that you are grappling with. People just waking up and deciding where to build and where to build their shacks or where to build. You sleep today and then you wake up tomorrow. There's a whole community and there are even kids. The only thing that is left is a school for a government to build a school. So what challenges does that bring your department?
Let me start perhaps, Osanda, by saying that I completely agree with what Mr. Ndabambi just alluded to, and I think the informal settlement spread is one of the biggest challenges that local government is faced with. As you correctly said, I mean, you go to bed and then the next morning there's already a number of informal settlements that are built in the area. And this is a challenge that government is trying to work to addressing. However, part of our work, I think I alluded earlier on when I was talking about the mitigation components, where people have already built in these high risk or flood prone areas like your wetlands or your floodplains. Disaster management, what we normally do then as part of our winter preparedness is normally we go into these communities. This is where we advise people on what they can do to mitigate the severity of severe weather impacts. So coming up, either we divert water so that those communities don't get affected, or we come up with other structural measures to just protect them from the winter severe weather. Furthermore, what we also do, especially with in the local government space, is we do what is called risk assessments with communities, community-based risk assessments. This is where we provide awareness to communities around disaster risks that are available within their area or prevalent within their space. We also engage the communities to also come up with solutions for those particular risks. So this is something that we work closely hand in hand with the local municipalities and also the communities. Unfortunately, Asanda, it is very difficult to evacuate or to provide the houses for everyone. Government, I know, is working towards achieving that, but in the interim, we need to find solutions where we can protect the lives of the communities that we serve.
What as a follow on that question, I know, as you say, it's not always easy, But in cases where you say you come to, let's say you go to a certain community and say, there is this warning that we got. This is what is coming. So it would be best that you move and we find a safe space for you. And they say no. What do you then say? Do you force them out of that area, or do you find other means to make sure that their lives are saved? If for instance, they don't want to move.
Asanda, it's always unfortunate when communities don't take the advice from the warnings or from the experts. Our decisions to evacuate communities are guided by a lot of information, such as our historical data, flood maps, the data from the water, the Department of Water and Sanitation, information from the South African Weather Services. So the decisions that we make are made for the benefit of the public. Unfortunately, we cannot by law force people out of their home. Only thing that we can do from a disaster management perspective is to advise them on the warnings and also assist them during the evacuation.
That's very clear. That's very clear. Data. Let's say, for instance, you use whatever fancy tools you use, that I can imagine they are fancy tools that you use. Then you see there's a warning that a cutoff low is coming, and it's bringing with it floods, floods that you can't even imagine. What steps do you then take? For instance, let's say in the Western Cape, because we're talking about the Western Cape, you identify or you see on your systems that this is what is going to happen. So what steps as South African Weather Service do you take in that regard?
Yeah, the first step is to assess our confidence level. So once we converge on the confidence level, we contact the disaster management authorities. My colleague there was also talking about the informal settlement.
Yes.
The impact-based warning, it forces us to know what are the vulnerability levels at that particular area which is going to be impacted. If, for example, there were no houses, then there are informal settlements 2 weeks ago. We need to know that because now the impact is going to be different.
Yes.
So then is that interaction with the disaster management authorities
sorry.
So that makes the impact-based warning to be impactful. So once we start communicating with disaster management authorities, then there is that continuous interaction until they get to a decision for evacuation, for example, and then or a decision to be on standby. But still, the information continues because they need to know when is the if it's heavy rain gonna cease or when is it gonna drop its intensity. So there is that continuous communication, and then also the media. We also issue media statements before the high impact weather. Because we believe that media partnership assists us to reach millions in seconds. We use that platform as well. And then we also monitor possible miscommunications. Because sometimes we will be communicating about the severe cold front coming, and then somebody is circulating a typhoon from Asia or from hurricane from USA. So then people got confused. So we monitor that so that we can react and inform people of the correct information. So my colleague, my partner there, is correct. We don't decide on evacuation. So we share information, and then they use that information to make
they decide
decisions.
What to do with it.
Yes.
Thank you very much. So it seems like we are getting quite a number of voice notes. So before we leave, we don't want to miss anyone out. Let's go to voice notes and hear what people have to say.
My name is Mokesi Kachuma, and the reason we have a lot of floods around Western Cape is because of landscape of the area, we find that most of the areas, they've got low-lying areas. So when there's too much rain, the water runs down to where the low-lying areas are. And then because of the river, they get too full, and then the water gets passed towards the low-lying areas. So that's the main cause.
Moleni kamalam Mpumelelo Rakabe, dihlala apha eKhayelitsha. So for me, the role of the department when it comes to disaster management, I haven't seen much of the improvement, because first of all, especially Kabuneta, and then we use public transport. So from public transport, we find that imoto for it to use engine like Kubanzim, to use engine. The corners in areas, a township that are given attention, but they show that they're not given attention. And I feel like Cascade department, they must collaborate, because some material that they use, maybe they use cheap material or material that won't last for long, then the roads, they end up being the same again. And number two, the safety of especially women in our community, because if the area is not clean, it gives a chance for criminals to hide and be comfortable in that space. That way, women end up getting raped in a demolished house or in an abandoned space because it's not clean, it's not looked after. The community doesn't care. So that's why they always use it for victims or to, like, even human trafficking for small kids, because of those are the targeted spaces.
Kind of a boner in action, besabenza. Mnandi tsingba, baya sabenza kakhulu. Tukenda babona mna be yo besebenza man be ngeta I community kaise makini kage ipindi buyele petu landu be nisiti ndicing bam na I infrastructure in like
5 minutes before 7, so that means we're wrapping up. Mr. Nokoyo, let me bring this one to you. It's two different, I've noted two different voice notes. Others say they have seen you at work, they have seen you working, but the first voice note noted that they don't see improvement, more especially when it's raining and they use taxis and all of that. So they are saying that they would like to see more of you in action. What is then your response to that?
Asanda, I think with climate change, the impacts of, we will see more flooding incidences and also droughts and other severe weather events. What we do try from a disaster management center perspective is that we equip communities with as much awareness as we can before our winter season. One of the things that we do as part of that is to make sure that we clear out stormwater drainages so that we lessen the impact of flooding. Unfortunately, we cannot completely avoid the risk. There will be impacts in certain areas. What we try to do during our recovery and rehabilitation phase is that we try to build back better. So where we've experienced flooding incidences, let's say in certain communities, maybe in Cape Town, what we will do after the incident is investigate what causes the blockages and then how do we then rectify that and improve it. Yes, there will be instances where obviously these things can also be occur repeatedly, but what we endeavor to do as a government is to improve the lives of the people, and we also try to equip the communities with as much knowledge as possible, like informing them not to throw rubbish into stormwater drainages, because these are things that can assist us into alleviating those impacts of flooding.
Yes. In 30 seconds, Mr. Nokoyo, as we wrap up, as we leave, your final words to the people of the Western Cape, what would you like to say to them?
Our final words for the people of the Western Cape is I would like to just ask them to assist government in protecting their lives, especially during severe weather events, by firstly taking advice. Taking the advice that is on the warnings that we circulate, whether they receive those warnings via radio, TV, or social media, to also, you know, refrain from circulating fake news. There's a number of ways that people can identify fake news. For instance, on a video, if you pick up that the language that has been spoken in that video is maybe none of the 11 official languages of South Africa, that might be fake news. And also, if possible, and where it is safe to do so, we would like to encourage our communities to try and stay indoors during severe weather events.
Okay.
That is the message that we'd like to depart with here.
Thank you very much, Mhlekazi. Thank you very much for making time to have this conversation with us. And we hope that your people in the Western Cape are listening and they are picking up and they are doing notes for the next season. Mr. Ndabambi, before we leave, final words from your side, and also what is the weather looking like in the Western Cape tomorrow?
Final words from me, I would say it's very important. The information is there. People must go to our website. We've got an office also in the Western Cape at the airport. The awareness is important, that they understand the information so that they can use it to their benefit. And also, luckily for them, tomorrow, fine weather for the Western Cape. The air is more from the land side towards the sea. The temperatures will be averaging 21, 22 degrees, but the lowest minimums in the Beaufort West and the Otsron area, Otsron about 1 degree, Beaufort West about 2 degrees, but lovely weather for tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tata. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us this evening. This was a special broadcast brought to you by South African Weather Service and the Disaster Management Center in the Western Cape. I am Asanda Brown. I'm signing out. Thank you very much to the 6 stations that hosted us. Thank you. Bye.
This program was brought to you by the South African Weather Service.